The views and opinions of the Dr. Kent Show are those of the hosts and guests only. They do not represent the opinions of KFNX staff or management. Dr. Kent holds a Ph.D., a doctorate, and a doctor of philosophy in psychology with an emphasis in industrial organizational psychology. The advice and expertise presented is generic in nature and draws upon more than two decades of experience in mental health services across a wide variety of settings. The Dr. Kent Show is provided for entertainment and educational purposes only. For diagnosis and treatment, please see your own personal doctor of medicine. For callers, nothing presented implies the establishment of a relationship, professional or otherwise. Dr. Kent is the developer of positive projective psychology.
Welcome to the Dr. Kent Show, giving psychology away. Here now, Dr. Kent, Ph.D. Welcome back to the Dr. Kent Show, giving psychology away. Here now, Dr. Kent, Ph.D.
Welcome to the Dr. Kent Show. We're trying this again here. A little technical snafu to start out with. That's all right. That's not too bad. It's okay. I don't know who was on this microphone last, but I swear they were chewing some double mint or some sort of gum. Kind of minty. Okay, enough of that. Look, what's been going on in this world today is just outrageous. I've been asked by so many people, what's your next show about? And I've had a lot of ideas. But what I've discovered is the more structured, the more planning I do, the worse the show. So I'm going to do it really off the cuff. But part of the problem is I've had so many ideas. I mean, even this morning while mowing the grass, it was like an internal dialogue going on in my head, just what I was going to say, what I could do. It would be so fun. But the fact is, I'm not sure what's the most important thing. Now, the election's going on. That's what folks are responding to. I don't think it matters too much which way it goes. I think we're in deep trouble no matter who gets elected at this point. But I've got my preferences, and I do want to cover that quite a bit today. But I also wanted to give you a little bit of a heads up, and that is that, I said welcome to group therapy. Well, I was asked a question, what makes positive projective psychology work? And I'm going to try to give a demonstration of that. And when I say demonstration, what I mean is that, welcome, folks, to group therapy. It's the Dr. Kent Show. By tuning into my show, you hereby give me consent to treat you. And treatment's going to be consisting of very simple stuff. Now, usually when there's a consent to treatment, we have to have a chart, we have to open it up, we have to read this to you practically. If you can't understand it, we have to read it to you, we have to explain it to you. And then we have to also explain to you what the possible downsides of treatment are, what the risks are. Now, there are a few risks. One of the risks is that if you tell me about having sex with a child, I got to call the authorities and report it. If you tell me you're going to harm somebody, then I'm actually obligated to call, probably the sheriff or wherever the victim is. If you identify a victim, and I've got to breach confidentiality, tell the sheriff, and even tell the victim of your intent to harm them. So that's not going to be necessary here, because if you call in on the station, everybody around is going to be hearing you, and we're just going to think, you're not a real threat because you're telling the world about it. Now, possible side effects of this treatment. You might not change. You might remain the same. But of course, everybody wants change, right? I mean, it doesn't matter what the change is. I mean, it could be, it doesn't matter. We all want change. We know that. Obama's going to be president. He's going to bring us change. I don't know what he means by that. And I've got a little bit of inhibition going on because I saw a T-shirt on the way in. And unfortunately, my guy running the board is going to vote Obama for me. But I understand where he stands, and I told him after the show he might want to change his mind. But I doubt I can change anybody's mind on anything in particular, and I don't want to change your mind. I want you to change it, if anything at all. The latest in the mail. I've got to make this announcement. This didn't come out to every psychologist around, but it came out to me. And here I am. I don't have an active license, and I'm not practicing, but yet Ortho McNeil, a division of Ortho McNeil Janssen Pharmaceuticals Incorporated, found me somehow and mailed me this warning. An important drug warning. Dear healthcare professional, this is from August 2008. I get the letter a week ago, okay? It's last of October, and they're sending this out whenever. But it's dated August 2008, no date of the month. Dear healthcare professional, Ortho McNeil Division of Ortho McNeil Janssen Pharmaceuticals Incorporated would like to inform you of important changes regarding Haldol, haloperidol injection, and Deconate. Haldol Deconate, haloperidol Deconate injection. Prescribing information for Haldol injection and Haldol Deconate injection has been updated, and the following information has been added to the beginning of the prescribing information into the warning section of each packet. Now, I've got a box in the middle of this letter. It doesn't say it's a black box warning, so they really haven't told me what's going on here, but I'll bet you anything the next PDR, physician's desk reference, this is a black box warning. And I'm just going to read the title of it. I'm not going to read the whole box. Warning: increased mortality in elderly patients with dementia-related psychosis. Hey, folks, I knew about the problems with dementia and with these drugs a long time ago. You know, what can I say about it? I'm not a medical doctor. Oh, for heaven's sake, no. What do I know, you know? The fact is that we've been giving Haldol to elderly people who are at risk for dementia for quite a while, and I think it precipitates it or it makes it much worse. But here it is, risk of dementia, risk of death. I will tell you that the risk of death was between 1.6 to 1.7 times higher than for placebo-treated patients, okay? So, you know, it's a significant thing. Haldol is widely used around the country. A lot of folks who have children with autism, their children are treated with Haldol. But this stuff is really bad. Now, at some point, I'm going to be putting up a website, and one of the links I'm going to have on that, I hope, and I'm preparing for, as I'm trying to find somebody to put this together for me, is there'll be a link up to a picture of a dendrite, of a neuron that's naive, that has never been treated with antipsychotic medications, if you want to call it that. I think the term major tranquilizer is more accurate because we find that the people who take these medicines don't succeed in reducing the psychotic symptoms much at all. As a matter of fact, 60% of those after taking the medications report they're still bothered by their hallucinations. Okay. Anyway, and then I want to show a picture of a treated dendrite, a treated neuron. And what happens is it looks like a sewer pipe. I mean, the actual neuron itself, when you look at it, there's a bunch of little hairs, lepta, neuroleptic, meaning pruning the hairs, the follicles, the rich connections off of the neuron. So that's what the drugs do. They diminish that, and the treated drug looks like a doggone sewer pipe. I mean, it is straight. It's kind of wide just because it's the only thing there. There's none of the rich connections, and this is what we're doing to our kids. And in case you're wondering, what we're doing is we're diagnosing kids with these outrageous disorders at, well, as young as 6 months of age and putting them on Haldol, Risperdal, and all that. We're saying they have schizophrenias and bipolar disorders. Heck, they aren't even old enough to roll over in their cribs. But yet here parents are taking them to the professionals, especially child psychiatrists, who are all too willing to give them a diagnosis, put them on these harsh medications, and then help them get disability, mad money, for their children. It really bothers me to no end. But we'll try to cover that a little bit more in the show. And if you'd like to give a call in, give a call. 602-277-KFNX. Catch you on the backside.
Welcome back to the Dr. Kent Show, giving psychology away. Here now, Dr. Kent, Ph.D.
Welcome back to the Dr. Kent Show. I received an email from a former patient. Came out of the blue. Was glad to hear from her. Once in a while, I think about former clients. And in this case, I thought about this individual. Therapy was was notable, and it had some really good moments in it for me. I hope it helped her. I think I did fairly well with that. But her query was, what makes positive projective psychology work? Now, the biggest problem we have today is psychology as practice is a negative projection. We have the Bible of practice, if you want to call it that, the DSM-4, the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual, which we was foisted off on us by the insurance companies. It was developed by psychiatry, by the American Psychiatric Association. And in order to collect third-party payments, insurance payments, we have to diagnose and classify according to these codes. The problem is we're busy sitting there trying to sort it out and give a good, valid diagnosis. Now, it's supposed to drive treatment, but what it's really driving is insurance payments, money, reimbursement. That's about it. And the implication of anything in that damn manual is that it is there to help us to treat patients and to choose the medications for treatment. In other words, the only treatment available is medications, and that's it. Now, I've got another health warning to give you here at some point today, and that's on therapy, drugs, ease children's anxiety, and I want to point out the conflict of interest. But positive projective psychology works through a different process, and that process, we recognize that we do damage when we diagnose. We do damage when we cast this person in these conceptualized concrete shoes and we throw them overboard. Because once we give that diagnosis, we usually can't see them as being anything other than a schizophrenic or bipolar disordered individual. Whatever it is, we give it to them for life. And by the way, it stays in the charts for life. It's there for life. You can't get rid of it for anything. And if you've had major depressive disorder and go to get life insurance, you'll be asked about that sort of thing. And you may not be able to get life insurance. However, since we're busy treating our troops with antidepressants en masse, maybe 30-35% of our troops are taking SSRIs on a regular basis, and a significant number are taking anti-anxiety agents to calm them down in the evening, which is nothing more than taking uppers and downers, in my opinion, that might become the norm for society accepted. So you may still be able to get life insurance with a major mental disorder diagnosis, but it still doesn't bode well for the future for you. What I'd really like to talk about, though, is more about this election than about positive projective psychology. I've got a couple of ways to go with my show in the future. And these days I have been searching for my format, trying to find my place. The Board of Psychologist Examiners decided I shouldn't be practicing psychology. Now maybe they're right about that, and I'm not going to argue about it with them very much. I think that they went after me in order to hide the crimes that were committed in ADOC and to protect their governor and the governor's mistress, girlfriend, wife, whatever you want to call Dora Shriro. But, the fact is that they did that, and that's just the way it is. But here on the radio, I was hoping that I get more calls from people wanting help with some specific things, but people really just want to take a pill. They want an instant fix. They also want what one of my former bosses said was something to hang their hat on. They wanted an excuse. They want a diagnosis. They want an easy way out. And there really aren't easy way outs, and the easy way outs usually cost you more in the long run anyway, from what I've discovered. What I'd like to talk about, though, is one of the things that we find is that in positive projective psychology, I'm trying to establish flexibility in the individual's thinking. The thinking becomes rigid and becomes problematic. So I'm trying to get somebody to flex up in their thinking. And just to give you an example, now we'll go through a little exercise here, and I'm going to babble till somebody calls and interrupts. I know somebody out there has something important to say today about this campaign, how they feel about it, and what they think is going to be happening here. Give a call at 602-277-5369 or toll free at 1-866-536-1100. That's 602-277-5369. I know somebody out there has something really important to say, and they just can't bring themselves to making that call. They're not so certain it's important. But I want you to think about something. We keep hearing about how McCain is going to continue Well, the current guy's legacy, Bush. I got news for you. I don't think McCain is the chosen one to continue the Bush legacy. I think it's Obama. Now think about this. Bush, Obama. Why is Obama the man to carry the ball? Well, psychologically, I don't trust the fellow. I don't trust McCain much either. McCain has done his own party on numerous occasions, and he's not much of a conservative. He does have some conservative values. You can't knock, you know, the fact. Well, look, I got a nice interruption here. Thanks for calling, Rick. Rick's from Mesa. Thanks for calling Dr. Kent Show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Doc.
Hey.
I wanted to describe change for you.
Oh, please. I thought maybe change might be like changing diapers or something, you know. What do you think, Rick? What's the change going to be?
Well, you know, right now these rich liberals could redistribute their own wealth on their own. They don't have to have the government do it for them.
Yeah, okay, but...
Which proves that it's not about redistribution of wealth. It's about confiscation of wealth.
Okay, I'll go with that. I'll go with that. I'm looking at a chart in front of me right now, too. It's probably... I'm looking at a chart here on Obama-McCain donor occupation analysis. But go ahead, Rick.
Well, that's just all going to go out the window. What I mean by confiscation of wealth is Zimbabwe style.
Ooh.
You know, the poor people over there, they wanted change.
They sure got it.
And they wanted to get even with those rich white farmers.
Oh, yeah. At what price?
Well, that's what I mean. In their zeal to get even with those rich white guys that were feeding them, providing them with medicine, et cetera,
oh, yeah.
They took everything away from the rich white guy, and now they're starving to death and dying of disease.
What's the inflation rate in Zimbabwe right now? Do you know, Rick?
Oh, I know the poor people can't afford to buy it, whatever it is.
Yeah,
they haven't gained any wealth. The poor people haven't gained any wealth. They've just taken the wealth away from the white people. It hasn't done them a single bit of good, which is exactly what the people in America are voting for. They want to get even with those rich white guys on Wall Street.
You know, it's really interesting because as they think that by bringing Obama in, they're going to be given all of this stuff, what they don't realize is they're going to be continuing the ripoff that's been going on for a century in this country.
Yeah, here's what's going to happen, Doc. The first thing they're going to do is confiscate weapons. Second thing they're going to do is import enough peasants to where they can never lose another election.
I think they've already done that.
Well, they're going to be bringing in 30, 40 more million Mexicans from Mexico.
Yeah, there's at least 30 or 40 million right now in the country, I think.
Well, all their family is going to be allowed to move to America.
Well, it doesn't matter which one you get. I mean, it doesn't matter if you get McCain or Obama, it's going to happen.
You're going to get that, but with McCain, you're going to get to keep your weapons, which is our only defense.
Yeah.
Once we have no weapons, and once our vote doesn't mean anything, they can do whatever they want to with us.
Oh, our vote doesn't mean anything. It doesn't matter which one we elect. In my opinion, you know, people keep calling Obama a socialist. I think McCain's a socialist. I think we have two parties in this country, and the Republican Party is socialist at this point.
This whole socialist movement has been going on for 100 years. People don't even realize it. My family had their farm taken away from us because we wouldn't get electricity installed in the house.
Ooh.
And that's still the law today, the Rural Electrification Act. If you for some reason,
whoa,
don't have electricity in the house you live in, it can be condemned and taken away from you.
Oh, boy.
Which is what happened to our family farm, which George Washington himself gave to my family. Maybe you've heard of our family, the Bush family. Yeah, we came over on the Mayflower. Some of them went to New Hampshire, some of them went to Texas, but we stayed in Ohio.
Okay. Now, I don't know. You aren't pulling my leg now.
No.
Okay, all right, because I got some relatives that came over right after the Mayflower. I thought they came over on the Mayflower, but our property was taken from us, too. And that happened shortly after those international bankers met on Jekyll Island in Georgia. Hey, Rick, we got about a half a minute, so just go ahead and take some more time here. Talk about the music for a half a minute.
We're going to have to get organized, Doc. Somebody's going to have to lead some kind of resistance here, or it's going to be futile. white men are going to become the slaves.
Well, what's really
the intent all along?
Well, we're not producing much in the way of males for leadership anymore. I think the only one of the four that ought to be president is Palin.
Well, that's because the two parties are controlled by somebody else.
I'll catch that on the backside. Thank you for the call, Rick.
Welcome back to the Dr. Kent Show, giving psychology away. Here now, Dr. Kent, Ph.D.
Welcome back to the Dr. Kent Show. You know, my last show was not very good. I failed to connect the dots in many ways. Got some feedback afterwards. I was told I had said something to the effect of shutting the entire country down, and I didn't think I said anything like that, and I certainly didn't mean anything like that. But I can see some things I'd like to shut down, some parts of the government that we need to shut down, some parts of this monster before it eats us up and destroys us. But I'm going to try to connect some dots. There's not much time. I find folks are more interested in the political situation, but the fact is the country is mentally ill. We as a people are mentally ill. And what do you think the two main symptoms of being mentally ill are? Obama, McCain. Think about it. Obama, McCain. Aren't those signs and symptoms of mental illness for us as a group, as a whole? I mean, we've got two gentlemen. Neither one of them's been born in the country. Neither one of them's legally able to hold the office, and yet we're running them for president. Okay? The other thing is that everybody seems to think that McCain's going to continue on with Bush's legacy. And then people forget about the Clinton legacy. And one of the things I want to bring up is the Glass-Steagall Act. Now, a friend of mine, when I was dancing this weekend, told me about this act. And I remembered it being repealed. I remembered when they repealed this act that the complaint was that banks shouldn't be getting in the insurance industry. They shouldn't be allowed to, you know, get into the stock industry and all that. Well, it turns out that the Glass-Steagall Act was repealed in 98 or 99. Actually, 99 is what I have in front of me on Google. My buddy tells me it was passed in 1930 and repealed in 98. Well, it was actually passed in 1933. It was repealed in 1999. Gee, I wonder who was president then. Folks, it was none other than William Jefferson Clinton. He passed that. He's the one who set the time bomb off that we're all suffering from. No more, no less than the Democratic sociopath named William Jefferson Clinton. Now, you can blame that on Bush all you want. The fact is, though, Bush passed something that hasn't gone off yet. It's called Patriot 1 and Patriot Act 2. And in those things, folks criticized how much power was given to the presidency, to the executive branch of our government. Democrats in particular were screaming about how a tyrant could misuse those. Now, it's going to take a little bit of flexibility in your thinking, but I want you to think about this. Bush put it into play. It's law. He never used it. He didn't do anything with it. Well, I'm certain he's done some things with it, but it's not been used at full force. Probably not even 50%. But now you've got a fellow who's come in who's promised you change, and he's got this wonderful bomb to set off for you, and he's going to cause change. Now, for you folks out there who have been asking me, you know, I mean, I've had a call, you know, asking me if I was a Christian. Yes, I'm a Christian. I've had people call me and challenge me, is Obama the Antichrist? No, folks. I can assure you, Obama's not the Antichrist. Obama's the destroyer, in my opinion. Obama's the guy that wrecks it all. And the wrecking starts outside of our borders and comes inside rather quickly. Another thing that's been going around is the coming race war. I want you to think about this. This is not an easy topic for me to bring up. There's been talk about having about a possible civil war inside of our country. I asked folks, well, what would that fall upon? What lines would that fall? He said, well, that would be probably along lines of nationalities, ethnicities. Okay. Well, when things really go to hell in a handbasket, you don't usually take time to look people's genealogies up and all that stuff up. You go for something much more much more readily recognizable and easier to discern. And if you, you know, if society is totally crazy, it really comes down to race. Now, when I worked for 5 years in ADLC, the inmates were always talking about the coming race war. And I didn't give it any credence. Matter of fact, it was a threat gang, strategic threat gang, STGs. The Peckerwoods, I think they're a branch of the Aryan Brotherhood, but they were the ones talking about it in particular, and I didn't give it any credibility. However, when I talked with a friend of mine in Mississippi who's a Negro, I don't like the term African-American. It sounds anti-American to me. I don't like the term white or black much either. Those are just, that's all pretty insulting stuff. We're all of one race. It's the human race. And I mentioned this to see, pass the idea by her, and I did it very gingerly because I really don't want to upset my friendship here. I really love my friend. And of all the things, she embraced the idea in about a heartbeat, maybe two at the most. I was shocked. But there's that much anger and hate going around the country that we've lost sight of rationality. The idea that we need a second Bill of Rights bothers me. And we, with Obama, you get reparations, by the way. No way around that. It's going to be based on race, of course. It's going to expand the money supply even further and dilute the value of the dollar more. Hey, my number is 602-277-5369. But the fact is that it's a good possibility we may have some sort of internal strife in this country. Right now we have one brigade admitted, trained in non-lethal technology. In other words, they sit around and tase each other so they know what it's like to get hit with tasers and fall down to the ground and I guess froth at the mouth, whatever else one does with that. But these guys are trained in non-lethal technology. Some of it's of what is revealed to us and some of it's not revealed to us. And, but they brought them back and stationed him here at home. They brought him back from Iraq at the beginning of October, the 1st of October. They've been stationed, assigned to the northern half of the country. I'm assuming that's just north of Washington, D.C. here purposely in case there's some disturbances. During the election cycle now. Talking with my dad, he reminded me, well, that's what they're telling you about. It dawned on me. Yeah, they're telling us about a brigade, but they may have more than one brigade out there. You may think that it's a little off the wall, and I got to tell you, it takes some flexibility in thinking to think of the possibility. It's not probable, okay? But it's a possibility that our own troops could be brought right back here to quell the crowds. Martial law is a possibility. I've got a friend who stopped talking to me recently. He hasn't picked the phone up in a while, and he also said he wouldn't listen to my program. He's been deep into the conspiracy literature for a while, and you know, 10 years ago, half of what he told me, 50% of it was true. I mean, that was enough to scare me. But lately, he's insistent that I have to buy into the whole thing, or you know, he won't talk to me. He doesn't talk to his brother. He gives his mother grief as well because people don't abide by what he says and give it full credence. Well, I can't give it full credence. But yet there's some things that he said that really make me wonder. One of the things is about 9/11. Now, I know there's no major talk show radio host out there who's been on the air telling you that they think it was an inside job. Folks, you need to loosen your minds up and get some flexibility. People outside of this country know the news differently than you or I do. All of the news inside this country, all the publications are very much controlled at this point. There's no getting around it. Here we've had, the Glass-Steagall Act that was repealed under the Clinton administration. The bomb went off in the Bush administration. As a matter of fact, went off about 3 or 4 months ago here. And there were signs it was going to go off before that. A year ago, they tried to... They were talking us into believing that we were in a recession. That's a psychological warfare, in my opinion. There's been no recession until this last couple of months. Matter of fact, when the corrected figures were in for the first half of 2008, during the first 6 months of this year, growth was at a respectable rate of 2.7%. But here we are told how bad things are. Now, the latest figures I've seen or heard about indicate our growth is down by 0.3% in the last couple of months. What I want to tell you is that I think the economy's fine. We need to stop thinking of it that way. We need to start talking about the money supply, where it comes from, where it goes to, how it's made. And we need to start talking about the Federal Reserve and the fact that it's broken. Humpty Dumpty's had a great fall. Talk to you later.
Welcome back to the Dr. Kent Show, giving psychology away. Here now, Dr. Kent, Ph.D.
Welcome back to the Dr. Kent Show. I'm going to try to tie it up in this last segment. Rick, that was a good call. Yeah, you kind of caught me off guard, and I probably should have asked you a little bit more about your family, the Bush family, and who you're associated with. I had that opportunity, but it was such a shock to hear that name. It's kind of rough. I shut down. I got to admit it. I wish I'd asked and taken that opportunity. What I wanted to tell you about, a little bit about Obama and McCain contributors. The number one contributors to the Obama campaign are retired people. And, you know, there's quite a few retirees giving to McCain as well. But I want to tell you folks who are retired, Obama's going to expand the culture of death. And let me tell you exactly what he's going to do. He's going to require you to, when you retire, to choose between your benefits. If you want Social Security, or would you like the annuity you've contributed to? You're not going to be able to get both, and the government's going to take the annuity or the Social Security away from you. There's a lot of stuff on the Internet. I suggest you go look at it before you vote for them. Oh, and by the way, you as good citizens, when you become unable to take good care of yourself and unable to support yourselves, if you're a good patriot, you're going to sign up for the euthanasia program, okay? That's what's going to happen to you folks who are going to put him in. You think he's going to give you more money and he's going to do more giveaway to you. He's going to give you away. You're the first ones to throw under the bus. By the way, any of us over 50 under this administration, be careful. And then we have attorneys gave. Wow, did attorneys give to Obama? I mean, it's such a disparity. It's like 5-1. It's just horrible. I mean, I'm sorry, but that's the number one occupation that it contributed to Obama. Attorneys, lawyers, and law professors, the number one profession. Looking for psychologists, no psychologists are given to McCain. Now, I tried to give to him. He wouldn't take the money. He sent it back. I actually had a letter in there, and I needed some help. And he decided that my problem was it wasn't the fact that a series of crimes had been committed and the FBI was refusing to investigate, and DPS was refusing to investigate. It was a labor problem. So he sent it to the Department of Labor. It sent me my money back, too. I sent him a check for $70. Okay, I kept the money. I just wasn't going to give it back to him. I gave Obama. I gave McCain some tips early on in his running. Before he became the candidate, I left a message on his machine down in D.C., and I told him, you need to get the message. No open borders. You've got to be willing to close the borders down, or you're never going to be the candidate for president. I'll be darned if he didn't give some sort of an announcement about a week or so later. And he's out there saying, I got the message. And he finished the announcement, his change in status, you know, his change in policy regarding open borders, with, I got the message. Well, he became the candidate. Later, I gave another tip, you know, after he secured that nomination. And I really didn't want him. I mean, I declared this time Republican in Arizona so I could vote for Ron Paul. Anyhow, I told him he needed to choose a conservative running mate, or he could just, you know, bite it off. I mean, you choose a conservative running mate, then that's going to be a good thing. And I thought he'd go with Bobby Jindal down in Louisiana, but he didn't. Instead, he went with Sarah Palin, and I was really, really shocked and quite pleased. He couldn't have chosen a better person, in my opinion. She's been very much maligned, and frankly, I would ask you folks to join with me in never watching Saturday Night Live again. I mean, they treated her horribly. You know, that's just plain disrespectful. You ought not be doing that to your future leaders, to people who might save you from an outside invader, especially, you know. But out of all four, I like Sarah Palin better. I like her better than McCain. I like her better than Biden. My physician friend thinks that Biden has a bipolar disorder, and that an untreated one. And I looked at him and said, how can you say that? He said, just listen to him. Listen to his stuff. So I couldn't figure out if he's lying purposely or if he's inventing things during the debates. Now, I'm trying to avoid use of professional terms like confabulation, but frankly, that's what it sounded like. I mean, I don't remember when we joined forces with you know, Syrians to clean up Beirut or something like that. I mean, Biden says things that absolutely aren't true. I don't know how he puts these things together in his mind and believes them. But he's not stable, and he definitely is. I want him for president. So I'm voting, but not for the 44th president. I'm voting for president number 45. In other words, I'm voting for the follow-up. Why? Because I think that either one of these men aren't going to be able to last in office long. We have a tradition in this country, and it's not a very good tradition. We've had some presidents die in office, but we've had a lot of assassination attempts, and they seem to run in cycles. Last one, Reagan. It's been quite a while. We're about due. I don't think that's a healthy thing for a country at all, but I think we've got to be ready for who takes over. Now, Biden, I don't think is healthy enough. And that leads right to number 46, Pelosi. Imagine Pelosi for president. Oh, wonderful, wonderful. But the fact is, you've got, there's another anomaly going on, too. I'm not so certain that we're setting history with Obama as being the first black president. There's a good possibility that we've already had a black president. And I'm not talking Clinton. No, I'm talking about somebody from quite a while ago who never publicized the fact that he had some black blood in him. And he was a big president, not a small one, but he also did the most damage to the republic any president did. But yet we revere him and honor him and respect him way beyond necessary today, in my opinion. He trampled upon states' rights. He really screwed that stuff up. His assassination resulted in no official relationship with the Vatican until this administration, Bush Jr., you know, the little Bush, the one we got now. It wasn't until his presidency that we officially recognized the Pope and established why? Because the church was involved in the assassination of Abraham Lincoln. It's not a very direct, but it's direct enough that we didn't have anything to do with them, even when we had John F. Kennedy, a Roman Catholic, for president. You know, our history is really rich. We don't know much about it. It's suppressed. We're totally controlled, brainwashed, definitely controlled. Oh, most definitely. I've got a lot of subscriptions I'm letting go. I don't know of anything that's not left-oriented and not totally controlled at this point. I mean, the newspapers that I get, they're all leaning to the left. I suppose there's a couple out there that I don't get that might not. I mean, I like Soldier of Fortune magazine. I think they're unbiased in their reporting on the war. In an interesting article in the most recent Soldier of Fortune is the rise of a new czar. That's spelled with a T, folks. Czar. And that is the fellow over there, Putin. He pulled a good one on the rest of us, and he used our media to allow him to invade Georgia. And in this brief article in Soldier of Fortune magazine, they just talk about how they were mercenaries in Georgia. Now, I heard stories about us having mercenaries over there, but we didn't have mercenaries there. Instead, Putin took mercenaries from out in the Chechnya area, most ruthless slugs he could get, and he stationed them inside of Georgia. And then he fed the information to our news media that, you know, the Georgians, it's misinformation, it's not truthful, the Georgians were doing atrocities on the Assyrians or whatever this minority was. That's not true. He set that whole thing up so he could go in there. With somebody like him on the rise, this is a smart, wily man. With someone like him on the rise, it's really hard for me to put Obama in office. I don't even know if McCain can handle this fellow. And by the way, in the future, we're going to talk about Ronald Reagan, the revered Republican president. Frankly, folks, he's not that good a president. He was not that good. Not at all. He bailed out the first bank that failed in the country. He bailed out was the Bank of Philadelphia, the seventh largest bank in the country, and set a horrible precedent. Anyhow, I just think that when they claim that he defeated the Soviet Union, that was announced rather prematurely, and it was a hoax. The Soviet Union never went away. They're just starting to come back into the limelight and into power. And this fellow who's there is going to be a force to be reckoned with. And if you think, well, Obama said that their administration would be challenged within the first 6 months, I'll bet there's plans already to challenge whoever takes this presidency. Well, I appreciate the call from Rick. I wanted to cover a few other things like how to vote, how not to vote. Vote for the marriage amendment. Send a message to our illustrious governor on that. And also vote for your freedom to choose your medical care. You know, there's a lot of deception in these ads that are on the airs regarding those propositions. But the fact is that that one amendment, I think it's Prop 101, is the one that protects your ability to choose your medical care. And why would Janet get on the air and tell you such lies? Because she wants the power over you to decide your medical care and your future. By the way, we're also going to talk about the memorial for 9/11 downtown and what it really symbolizes.